jump in my sleigh to my team, give a whistle, and head back to Sonora, out Tuolumne Road, past the casino, to Twain Hart Tree Farm, where Don Moore's been growing Christmas tree for about 40 years. Good morning, Don. Good morning, Chloe. Chloe?
Chloe, yeah.
Chloe, you going to bark for us, Chloe?
Our good ranch dog, Chloe.
One little bark? No? Now that you're on the radio, you don't want to bark.
Yeah.
How long have you been here, Don? You got a nice Christmas tree farm here.
My folks bought this property, this ranch, in 1951, so I got to grow up here. It was a beautiful opportunity. They wanted to give my brother, I've got one brother, my brother and I, a farm experience, and we had a farm experience with horses and cows and pigs and chickens, and actually stuck more with my brother, I guess. He went into FFA, went to college as an ag engineer. I did FFA for 1 year and decided I like animals and the outdoors, but I didn't see that as my path forward. Christmas tree farm that we started in 1972, my father said that he and my mom were thinking about selling the ranch because it was so much work. He didn't have the time to do his contracting business, and it was expensive to maintain the ranch and all the things that needed to be done. And I said, whoa, I'll figure out some way to earn some income so that we could maintain it and keep the property. And so when we started thinking about Christmas trees, it just seemed natural that we're at the tree elevation for white fir and Doug fir. And so in 1972 decided that's what we should do. So we ordered Christmas trees, and we had a pasture that we had plowed up and converted. We're going to convert to the initial Christmas tree plantation. I guess we'd read a brochure or two about how to plant Christmas trees, and somehow, I don't know if he was a county ag commissioner or a forester, someone came out to kind of see how we're doing, and lo and behold, we were doing it all wrong, and not keeping the roots moist and covered, and we were actually planting too late because it was too late in the year to get some nice spring rain. So of the first year's planting, a very few survived. You know, over the next few years, like most experiences, you learn every year something a little bit better about how to do things and talk to other people. And so it was a slow start. I think we sold our first few trees, and I think it was 1977, after about 6 years. And if I recall, we sold 15 or 20 trees the first year. We were off and running. Probably within 5 to 10 years, we had planted about 5 acres. Each year had more trees available to sell, and so had, I don't know the numbers, but you know, maybe sold 50 and then sold 75 and gradually increased. Somewhere along there, after 10 or 15 years, I believe, my wife Peggy decided that we ought to have a gift shop. So we converted a small saddle room we had in the barn as a gift shop. Some of the early idea was to get a lot of handcrafted Christmas items. And I remember in the early years, someone had packaged beans. We said, well, that would be a great idea to cook some and have them for sampling. And so for a number of those early years, you know, besides having coffee, apple cider, and some little cookies or something, we had beans to sample, and that was a big hit. People thought they were great. And what we didn't sell, that would be our dinner. We'd have beans at the end of the day. So year by year, increasing the number of trees, the varieties of trees. At some point, we ended up with Doug fir, white fir, incense cedar, which are native here, and planted some of those, giant sequoias. In total, we've got about 9 acres of Christmas trees.
What is the elevation here?
We figure we're about 3,500 foot elevation.
What kind of wildlife is there?
Unfortunately for us, there's a lot of deer in the area. In fact, over the past decade or so, as the climate seems to have warmed, we're getting deer year-round now. So we have a lot of deer now, and the young bucks rub their horns on our soft Christmas trees to get the felt off of them when they're going through that phase. And so that's been a problem. They've actually damaged a number of trees enough that we just had to cut them out.
So it's quite a habitat, the Christmas tree farm itself, with all the trees. You probably got a few thousand trees, several thousand trees.
Yeah, it's theoretically max trees. If every tree survived and we had 100% in 9 acres, we could have up to 18,000 trees. But like I say, some die. We're replanting just about every year. We didn't replant during the 5 years of drought we've just come out of. This year, 2017, planted 1,400 trees for the first time in 5 years because of a nice wet winter and the better, decent chance that they're going to survive, where, like I say, during the drought years, we didn't plant any. We plant them as two-year-olds, which are about a foot tall. Like I say, it takes 8 to 9 years for the fir in particular to grow to a 7-foot tree. That's the idea of replanting every year, is you always have, while you're selling the taller ones, you've got younger ones coming along. So if you walk out, you're going to see trees in the plantations anywhere from, you know, brand new seedlings a foot tall up to, you know, now we're selling the redwoods in particular for people's homes. We often sell trees now up to 15, 20 foot tall. For 2 years, we actually sold, I think one was up to 45 foot tall to Castle Air Force Base. The last 2 years, Castle Air Force Base was in existence. They brought up a big Air Force flatbed truck, and my dad and I, one of us was driving a tractor and one driving a forklift that he had, was able to load it onto theirs. So that's kind of our record big tree sales. We always open the day after Thanksgiving, and we're open that weekend, and then afternoons 12 to 4:30 Monday through Friday the next 2 weeks, and the following 2 weekends is our normal full season. So I remember as a kid going up and down McHenry Avenue where the outdoor tree lots were. You'd go by for, I guess we'd go down occasionally for after Christmas sales, and you'd see piles and piles of trees. And so the concept of having a choose and cut farm that you cut it fresh, the people know it's fresh, it's not cut a month or two early and shipped in and all the needles drop, that the fact that they can come out as a family outing and get to pick their tree among all that you have.
Do you have very many repeat customers? You must see some same families every Christmas.
Yeah. We've got multiple families that have been back 20, 25. We've got a few that have been with us for 30 plus years. And even though you only see them once a year, they're like family. It's a wonderful part of the experience. In the early 70s and 80s, families would bring their kids, and then in the 80s and 90s, they'd bring their grandkids, and now we've got their grandkids bringing their kids. Get to see multiple generations, and it's a fun part of the whole process.
Well, I know that you also do weddings here, but you haven't always done weddings.
No, somewhere in the late 90s, some of our friends had a couple of girls that were at college level and, you know, kind of that, oh, thinking about, you know, I'm going to be married someday or something. And their parents commented to us, man, your place would just be lovely to have a wedding. And so that kind of planted the seeds. Around 2000, maybe 1998, 99, we had our first wedding. Sort of like the Christmas tree business, it's kind of evolved, and each year we try and make some improvement and plant a few more plants or shrubs or trees to beautify the area, even though just the natural beauty of the wedding sites with all the pine trees and the foliage we have, it's turned out to be a popular place. We will book weddings in June, July, and August. Have decided that we cut off the first weekend in September, we will have that, but because after that it gets dark real early, and one of our restrictions is we can't go late into the night. It's basically a short summer season, if you will, and we have typically 6 or 7 weddings during the summer, a normal summer. Turned out to be just a fun experience, a happy occasion for the family when they're cutting a Christmas tree, obviously a happy occasion for the family when there's a marriage. So we feel blessed to be able to offer 2 activities, sharing our ranch with people, that are fun family experiences.
Did you have much trouble getting permitting from the county?
Yeah. The Christmas tree farm was not a problem because early on my father put the ranch into the Williamson Act. In the Williamson Act, you're supposed to be able to get a reduced tax benefit for your ranch property. So when we decided that we'd like to do the weddings, we had to go through the county and request a permit to add that to the Williamson Act and get permission. And I guess like all activities on your property, that to be permitted, that the county notifies all your neighbors within 200 yards of one of your boundaries or whatever it is, it basically anyone who surrounds you, that this is what you're intending to do, and if they have any objections, they have a chance to voice those. We had to go before the county supervisors because there was lots of people that thought we were going to have wild parties and all-night activities and traffic issues and, you know, all sorts of concerns. And so we had to go before the Board of Supervisors, as I said, and a few neighbors said, hey, it sounds like a great idea to me. But so as a result of those hearings, the county put some mitigating circumstances, like we had to have a wider driveway entrance so that if fire trucks needed to get down here, they could come in, and the driveway down had to have some turnout so the traffic could pass, and that we couldn't go late at night so that no music or loud activities could be after 9 o'clock at night, which turned out to be a blessing in disguise because we particularly don't want late night parties, but we'll do the wedding activity, and so that's turned out to be a good thing. So like I say, we've been happy with it, and I think the early concerns of the neighbors were not justified, and in fact we don't get any complaints at this point. And in fact, a few neighbors say we enjoy the weddings because we can sit out on our porch and hear some of the music while we're having a glass of wine or something. So again, another way to have a little income off of the property that helps us keep the place in the family and paint the buildings and pave the road and, you know, do all the maintenance things that are required of a piece of property.
It's difficult to keep agricultural land in agriculture, and any way that you can augment your income helps to keep ag land in agriculture. We're sitting here in the wedding venue, and I could practically fall asleep here. It's so quiet and peaceful and shaded, cool. I'm going to come out here the first weekend after Thanksgiving and walk around and look at the trees and see the happy families at Christmas time and get a glass of cider.
Cider.
I enjoyed talking with you. Thanks for talking with me.
That mentions, let me add one thing, is that our biggest day is always the first day after Thanksgiving, because people like to come out and get first pick. And not only the first day, but the first 3 days, that first weekend, we are absolutely swamped those 3 days. The last number of years, we sell out quite early. And we try and get that word out. We have a website and a Facebook page now that we try and post information about weather, and if we have to close, we post it there. And I think we've encouraged most of our customers to check there before they come out.
Very good. Thank you again, Don.
You're quite welcome.